Good evening and welcome to this special Friday edition of the KRFP Evening Report for September 12th, 2014. On today's show, we'll hear from Latah County Commission candidate Kurt Obermeyer. But first, this news. A 20-year-old Colfax man died in an accident this morning at the corner of U.S. Highway 195 and Albion Road. The Washington State Patrol reports Samuel B. Thompson was driving a Toyota Camry, which crossed the center line into the path of a semi-truck driven by 60-year-old Floyd P. Lowe at about 10:30 in the morning. Lowe was not injured. Avista has asked the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission for permission to adjust electricity and natural gas rates starting November 1st. The utility wants to decrease electricity rates by 1.3% and increase natural gas rates by 1.3%. Avista says the reasons for the requested changes are power cost changes and a Bonneville Power Administration program to share hydroelectric dam profits with residential power customers. They also say the natural gas increase reflects colder than normal temperatures around the U.S. last winter. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced yesterday Canada lynx will now be listed as threatened in the lower 48 states under the Endangered Species Act. According to the spokesman review, the listing designates close to 39,000 square miles as critical habitat for lynx in northern Idaho, Washington, the Yellowstone region, and parts of New Mexico, Minnesota, Maine, and Montana. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Mountain Prairie Region Director Noreen Walsh said, "The Endangered Species Act gives the threatened Canada lynx a real shot at recovery in its high-elevation habitat in the northern United States. Our final rule provides the lynx, one of only seven wild cat species in the nation, with what it needs to persist and thrive for future generations of Americans." U.S. Fish and Wildlife Biologist Jim Zelenak said the focus is in areas where the lynx can live over the long term. Zelenak said other areas may have sightings, but that doesn't mean the endangered cat will survive. He said either the habitat there is marginal or it's just too far away from the main population. We need to stick to the biology of the animals. Representatives of environmental groups Wild Earth Guardians and the Western Environmental Law Center said they hoped the critical habitat would include the Kettle Range in Washington, the southern Rocky Mountains, and parts of New England. They say human activities in those areas could adversely affect Canada lynx habitat through logging, housing developments, and other human lynx crossover areas in the dense forests of northeastern Washington. Western Environmental Law Center attorney Matthew Bishop said his group and Wild Earth Guardians are pleased with the listing, but called the critical habitat designation inadequate. The groups plan a legal challenge on that issue. The action by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service came as a result of a 2009 order by U.S. District Judge Donald Malloy of Montana after the agency was sued by environmental groups wanting lynx habitat designation that will allow the feline to live without human interference. The Washington Liquor Control Board has issued a license to RL Farms owner Garrett Lunders to become Whitman County's first legal cannabis grower. The Lewiston Tribune reported they obtained the information about the license from a public records request to the Liquor Control Board. The 27-year-old Lunders, who lives in Asotin County, plans to grow marijuana at his facility west of Colfax on State Route 26. The license allows Lunders to grow cannabis as a Tier 2 grower, which allows a production area of between 2,000 and 10,000 square feet. Lunders, who declined a Tribune interview request, said his facility will be 2,300 square feet, located in a one-story shop with three rooms. There will also be one room each for growing, quarantine, and office space. According to the Whitman County Planning Division, the area already is zoned agricultural, meaning Lunders' license is sufficient to begin operating. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers announced yesterday they will lower the water level of the Snake River between Little Goose and Lower Granite Dams to assist cleanup efforts at the Ilia Dunes, trashed by 1,800 partiers Saturday, September 6th. According to the Lewiston Tribune, the Corps will start lowering water levels Sunday around 7 p.m. to a maximum of 633 feet, exposing more of the shore to help the Corps and selected organizations clean up the area. Then, at about 7 p.m. Tuesday, the overflows will close to allow the water to rise back to original levels. After a safety inspection, the Corps is expected to reopen the dunes. A report from a consulting company says Washington State University is well positioned to create a medical school at its Spokane campus. MGT of America, a Florida-based consulting firm hired by the WSU Regents, has been studying the feasibility of the idea since February. In its report, the company said the WSU Spokane campus is a strong candidate for a medical school based on the infrastructure already in place at Spokane and WSU's 40 years of participation in the WAMI program, which is a regional medical training program involving colleges in Washington, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho. The report also points out the imminent need for more doctors in eastern Washington. The need is based on the number of medical school graduates and the increasing number of patients as a result of participation in the Federal Affordable Health Care Act, an aging population, and increasing population growth in the state. According to the report, Washington will need to train as many as 400 additional medical students each year by the year 2030 to meet the national average. The report says with an investment of about $47 million per year by the year 2024, Washington State University could double the number of medical school graduates in the state over current levels. The Washington Supreme Court has declared the Washington legislature in contempt for its failure to meet constitutional requirements for funding education. The court said it will reconvene and come up with sanctions if the legislature doesn't make plans to solve the funding problem by the end of the 2015 legislative session. According to a report by the Associated Press, possible sanctions could include fines for the legislature as a whole or individual lawmakers, revoking tax exemptions, or having the court rewrite the state budget. Two environmental groups have sued the U.S. Department of Transportation over the agency's policy of shipping volatile crude oil in older railroad tanker cars. The Sierra Club and Forest Ethics say the agency did not respond to a legal petition they filed in July asking for an emergency order to stop crude oil from the North Dakota Bakken oil fields. According to the Associated Press, since 2008, there have been 10 significant derailments in which oil spilled from ruptured railroad cars. The worst derailment occurred in Quebec last year when most of the cars on a runaway oil train exploded, killing 47 people. For decades, railroad accident investigators have pointed out older tank cars, known as DOT-111s, are too easily punctured when they derail. In July, the federal government proposed rules that would phase out tens of thousands of older tank cars, but that process could take several years. The groups say in the meantime, communities along the shipping routes are at risk from the continued use of the older tank cars. We now turn to our featured segment, an early season interview with Democratic candidate for Latah County Commissioner Kurt Obermeyer of Moscow. Obermeyer is running against Republican incumbent Richard Walzer of Viola. The full-length interview with Walzer was broadcast Friday, August 29th, and is available on the KRFP Evening Report archives on the Radio Free Moscow website. I spoke to Kurt Obermeyer at the KRFP studios this week.
Well, I've been a Latah County resident for 33 years. We lived away a couple of times, but not for long. We always came back. I've had my own remodel renovation business for about the last 20 years, so I have some small business background. I'm serving my second elected term on the Moscow Food Co-op Board, and I'm in my fifth year on the Moscow Planning and Zoning Commission as the area of impact representative for county residents. I'd be able to devote full-time effort to being a county commissioner if I'm elected. And as a small business owner, I've just learned the importance of fiscal prudence and budgeting within your means.
Okay, yeah, one thing your opponent said is a major part of the job of a county commissioner is the budget that's produced every year. And just a couple weeks ago, the county commissioners did approve a budget for fiscal year 2015, which I believe starts October 1st. And it included 4% raises for all of the regular employees of Latah County and cost of living adjustment raises for the elected officials. And the budget kept the portion of the property tax that goes to county activities to a 1% increase, which is less than the 3% per year maximum allowed by the state. Why don't you tell me what you think of this year's budget?
I think they did a pretty good job. Certainly the most controversial aspects would be the 4% raise and the 1.5% raise for the elected officials. I would have been completely in favor of the 4% raise for employees. It's been a while since they've gotten a raise. I've learned that if you pay the lowest wages in town, you don't end up with the best employees in the long run. A lot of times people that work in county government, one of the reasons they do it is because they feel a calling to help serve the citizens of the county, but that can only take you so far if you're not making much money. The 1.5% raise for county or elected officials, I'm a little more skeptical about. They got a fairly healthy raise a few years ago. I think I probably would have voted against it unless there's some compelling reason for raising that I don't know about. And at the least, I think as a matter of principle that if I as a county commissioner gave myself a raise, I think I would turn the money back to the county until after the next election and let the voters weigh in on it. Other than that, the majority of the budget, you don't have a lot of leeway and a lot of latitude on what you can do with the money.
Okay. Could you talk a little bit about the indigent health funding? The way I understand it, the counties around Idaho pay the first $11,000 extraordinarily large health care problems that indigent people might have, and the state picks up the rest. Tell me about the involvement of the county and the state and the impact Idaho's future decisions on Medicaid funding might have on that program and whether or not it stays or goes away.
Sadly enough, this is one of those instances where the county commissioners kind of have all the responsibility and none of the authority. The current system is pretty bad. As you say, it's based on you wait until there are major medical bills, and then the county will pick up the first $11,000. Especially now when we have the option under the Affordable Care Act to expand or reform Medicaid so that people are actually covered by health insurance. One thing is it's the biggest, easiest way to cut taxes in Latah County if the state legislature would agree to this reform. This year it's budgeted about $800,000. That's approximately 5% of the county budget. And if Medicaid was reformed, that expense would simply go away. The other aspect of it, too, is I'll use a carpentry analogy. The way we do it now, it's the equivalent of you wait until the roof rots and collapses on your head before you try to fix it. If you get people covered with health insurance regularly, you can do the equivalent of replacing the three shingles that needed to be replaced 4 years ago that would have prevented the whole problem. My wife is a nurse practitioner. She's kind of on the front lines of this. Don't fool yourself. There are people in Idaho dying because they don't have health insurance. She's seen it. If for no other reason, that would be one of the best ones to institute this. Again, county commissioners don't have authority over it. We can certainly make our voices heard, and I think there is some weight to it. There's a couple of organizations, Idaho Association of Counties, things like that, that could bring some pressure to bear on our state legislatures.
Yeah, you mentioned the Idaho Association of Counties. The what about teaming up with the other county commissioners around the state? Do you think that's practical, or do they tend to share your point of view, at least the ones that will be elected after this election cycle, about how health care should be dealt with?
I've talked to a few county commissioners. I've seen some of the things coming out of the Idaho Association of Counties. Right now, it seems like they're just sort of not wanting to talk about the issue. I think that's because you have the pressures on one side of it's a very hot political issue, but on the other side, it just makes so much sense to do it. I mean, if you can do something that saves taxpayer money, provides better health care for the citizens of Idaho, and there are costs involved with people getting sick that could have been avoided, more than just paying their medical insurance, and simply saving lives. You know, those three reasons are good enough. I'll certainly do my best to try to put as much pressure on the state legislature to deal with this problem as I can. I'd also suggest it's a pretty good reason to send some Democrats to the state legislature. It's a problem that does need to be solved, and right now the state is doing absolutely nothing about it.
Okay, you mentioned earlier that you are the area of impact representative on the City of Moscow's Planning and Zoning Commission. Now, besides the odd fact that you live outside the city limits but are on a city commission, there's also the area of impact issue, which is probably why you're one of the representative on P&Z, which is the area that's not within the city limits where city zoning laws predominantly apply. Could you tell me a little bit about that situation and also the how you feel about some of the discussions that have been going on about possibly expanding the area of impact because of new zoning laws allowing more splits of land that the county has implemented countywide?
Yeah, so kind of as a brief overview, what the point of the law is to allow cities to have some say in how growth happens directly outside their city limits boundaries. And the reason for that is that at some point, as cities expand, there's a good chance that they will annex some of these areas, and then they'll be expected to provide street services, fire services, water, sewer, all of that to an area that they had. If without the area of impact regulations, they would have no say in what they're taking over. What brought the review up is when the county passed a new subdivision ordinance, which allowed for quite a few more divisions. The city started wondering about how this was going to affect their future growth. Now, in brief, the way it works is that the city does zoning in the area of impact, and the county does all the building inspections. So even inside of the current area of impact, the city would do, would be in charge of the zoning. They wanted to look closer at it to determine if there's areas. Moscow has a fairly limited area of impact. I think state law is you can be up to 5 miles from the city limit, which is a huge area. I think Moscow, to their credit, tried to keep that area as small as possible. When the idea of the new subdivisions came up, it brought up some questions about, well, maybe we should take a look at this to see where we are likely to grow that may be outside of our current area of impact, and to readjust the area of impact boundaries. There's also a state law requirement, too, that it has to be done. I think you have to review the area of impact probably every 10 years, something like that, and I think it was time to do that. So between those two factors, the city just decided it's time to review the area of impact, negotiate with the county if they find areas that they would like to change.
Okay, let's move on to transportation. Do you expect that the county commissioners will have an official say on the proposal to increase the weight limit of your typical semi to a maximum of 129,000 pounds, as is allowed under new legislation in Idaho, in northern Idaho, whereas the previous limit was 105,000 pounds?
Well, I don't think that the county commissioners in Latah County get an official say. In Idaho, it's county option whether or not you set up highway districts. If you don't set up highway districts, then the county commissions do the roads. If the highway districts are set up, then they do the roads, and that's the way we've got it in Latah County. So, again, we don't have official authority. I think people would be, well, the powers that be would at least pay some attention to us. Personally speaking, I think all you need to do is drive from Potlatch to, say, Amida, and then think about what it would be like to be following a 40-foot trailer that's also towing a 27-foot trailer. I don't see that many roads in Latah County where that would be a safe situation. And the other big part of it for me is a couple of studies have shown that private car registration subsidizes commercial traffic on Idaho's roads, that the commercial traffic does far more damage than the share of the money that they pay in for it. Until that's addressed, I personally am against upping any weight limits. It's just not safe. It's not fair. I think between those two, there's really no real reason to do it. I think locally there's not that much support for the idea. I think even some of the trucking companies have said it's not good around here.
The smaller trucking companies, I would guess.
I would guess.
Okay. The current county commission put out a letter saying that they were in favor of the eastern alignment of U.S. Highway 95 when it expands to four lanes south of Moscow, and that eastern alignment goes along the flank of Paradise Ridge as opposed to two other alignments, a central and one more western. What are your feelings about that? Would you endorse that, or would you endorse something else?
I don't think I would have endorsed it. I hate to sound like a broken record, but again, it's one that the county commissioners have no authority over, really. My personal feelings are that rather than building an entirely new road, it might be good to give some serious thought and effort to improving the older road. I think the safety issues are one of the biggest aspects about it, and there is no doubt it's a windy, narrow road, and it's kind of scary certain times of the day and certain weather conditions. The bigger problem, though, I see is that it's been a transportation system that has kind of grown by dribs and drabs without anybody ever really putting a lot of thought into the whole system. One of Moscow's big zoning traffic development problems is that the major north-south highway in the state of Idaho runs directly through the middle of town. I think it would have been better to have tried to come up with a good permanent solution to get the main highway out of the town. What seems natural to me is you try to work with Pullman and Whitman County, try to get the major highway moved more to the west, centrally located between the two communities. It always brings up other issues too, like, well, what sort of effect would that have on downtown Moscow to move the highway out? I mean, it's wouldn't be the first town that's downtown was gutted by moving the highway. I'm not sure how big an issue that would be here, but it shouldn't be too terribly difficult to answer that question. In general, I think that I'm worried about locking in that E1 option, the Paradise Ridge option, because that's going to lock out a number of other solutions. We'll be committed to still maintaining the major north-south highway right through the middle of Moscow.
How much would you think that the whole issue of development in the corridor where Whitman County is ready to approve, although it's probably won't be built, the giant mega mall just west of the state line, things like that. How would that affect the argument that, as a holistic solution and producing a byway for 95 around Moscow, it will also draw, traffic and business out of downtown because it's built either partially in Washington or really close to the Washington state line? So,
it could easily be a problem. If the economy is growing, that development is going to be happening somewhere. I would hope that that would be part of the working together with Whitman County and Pullman. If there's some method of adjusting that, if the mega mall goes out there, then the sales tax dollars will go to Washington. Moscow should get something from that in return for helping facilitate a road that's over there. It's another part of the problem that we have to deal with of having WSU and the U of I and Moscow and Pullman right next to each other. There's so much cross-border connections, but that state boundary makes a difference. I mean, it makes a big difference. It would be so much easier if say Pullman and Moscow were in one state. It would make the highway much simpler. It would much reduce the tax consequences. A number of things. There's really no easy solution to this. I think, unfortunately, that results in the default position is you just kind of do what you can at the moment, and it's probably going to cause problems later.
Okay, well, that's all the questions I have for right now. There'll be other opportunities, I'm sure. Do you have anything you'd like to add, something that I didn't bring up that listeners should know about your candidacy for Latah County Commissioner, Kurt Obermeyer?
So I think the county commissioner's job is divided into two parts. There's the keeping the county on an even keel currently, and that's mainly keeping the budget within reasonable limits and spending the money frugally, making sure that the departments run smoothly and the whole machinery of government day-to-day runs well. The other big part is we have to think about what we want the county to be like in 20 years. Right now, I'm pretty concerned. Idaho in general, the directions we're going are not good. Latah County in particular, we used to have a pretty firm economic base between the university, farming, and logging. University is getting its budget slashed. Farming, it's always going to be an excellent economic base, but farms are getting so consolidated and the machinery is getting so much more expensive that it's just not going to provide the employment that we need. Same way with logging. I've talked to loggers who say that, you know, these days they can do with 10 people what it took 50 to do 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We really need to work seriously on a new economic basis for our town. I think the county commissioners can be a catalyst for getting people to think about it, to think about what we need to be working on, and to think about how we're going to accomplish it. You can look at the city of Potlatch. I was up at their city council meeting. They're putting some serious effort into some business development and getting a business park set up there. It's going to take that kind of work, I think, and sort of switching our focus from back when you could count on university funding, you could count on farming, you could count on logging to keep things going well. I doubt if it's going to be that way in the future, and we need to be doing some serious planning and work to help that switch in economic base.
That was Democratic candidate for Latah County Commission, Kurt Obermeyer of Moscow, speaking in the KRFP studios this week. His opponent in the District 1 race is Republican incumbent Richard Walzer of Viola. You can hear the full-length interview with Walzer by going to the KRFP website and putting Walzer's name in the search box to find the Friday, August 29th edition of the KRFP Evening Report. The winner in this year's race will serve a 4-year term. All voters in Latah County can vote in all Latah County Commission races. The District 1 designation for this race is for candidate pools only. In the other Latah County Commission race, Republican Shirley Green is facing Democrat Tom Lamar. The winner in that race will serve a 2-year term. The third Latah County Commissioner, Republican Dave McGraw, still has 2 years left in his 4-year term. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to buy raffle tickets for the Jemez Citizen 2 bicycle that we are giving away. Raffle tickets are available through the end of October. You can purchase them at Moscow Farmers Market tomorrow between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. or at the KRFP studios. Afternoons and evenings work best for that, or from KRFP DJs. Alan Solon and Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a great weekend.